The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the DL Debate. Oisin Kelly standing in for Brendan Devaney tonight. We're sort of half standing in for him. We'll be hearing from Brendan later on in the programme when he speaks with Peter Campbell, former sports editor of the Donegal Democrat, about all things Donegal GAA and the situation that we're in at the moment, both on and off the pitch. Brendan not here tonight. We've given him the night off, a deserving night off after a busy day in Roscommon, taking on the commentary role for us yesterday during that defeat at the hands, of course, at Dr. Hyde Park off Roscommon. And that'll be part of the conversation with Peter later. But Brendan has decided to change codes. He's at the Aviva Stadium tonight. He's watching the soccer. He's away to watch Ireland against France. So I hope he enjoys his night in Dublin there. But we will hear from Brendan later in conversation with Peter. But between now and then, I'll be talking ladies football and hurling. The ladies, of course, just like the men relegated. We'll speak to our big match analyst from the ladies game, Maureen O'Donnell. But flying the flag for the county after the weekend is no doubt the hurlers, who have progressed through to the Division 2B final after a tremendous one on the road on Saturday against Wicklow. Joining us now at the start of the programme is Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann. Mickey, good to speak to you.
Thanks, Oisin.
Mickey, I'm going to be honest, so I'm with you, and there was probably a few more thinking like me going into the weekend that Donegal might have their hands full with Wicklow after the previous performance where you took a bit of a lumping off them and at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, but fair play to the lads. They dug deep and were involved in a cracker of a game. Huge one for you against Wicklow, Mickey.
Yes, Oisin, and you're right. Nobody gave us a chance, you know, and apart from ourselves, really, we knew how far off the mark we were that day. We were well below par. It's probably the worst performance we have, you know, in 4 or 5 years. So flat. And now, as Wicklow did look very good and physical and all the rest, but I did say after the game, I thought we would look better. Now, to be fair, I thought we were really up against it, considering the injuries and all we had, you know, but you always set yourself up strong. And we learned from Wicklow, and we had a good look at them and their strengths, and there for the taking, you know, that they looked a wee bit complacent and leggy, and they got a bit of a shock that we raised it up a level. So it was hard for them to change their mindset, Oisin, and we snuffed at the possible victory there. So great credit to the boys. They bounced back after being so flat in Letterkenny. You know, they give a great performance of themselves, you know.
Do you have me in a hands-free by any chance, do you, Mickey?
No, I don't. Oisin, not.
All right, we'll keep going the way it is then. The line wouldn't be the best, but anyway, we'll manage. We'll be all right. So we will. Yeah, a great performance. And you got off to a good start too, Mickey Sheeta. You were 5 up in the game, weren't you?
We were 5 up at half time, Oisin. Yeah. And we're playing with the breeze now. And it probably was a 3 or 4 point breeze. So you would have needed that lead going in, you know. And you just felt that they were going to come at us, you know. And they hit the first 3 points the second half, Oisin. And then Ron McDermott got a second yellow card with 32 minutes to go in the second half. So they brought it back to 2 points, and they were a man up. So you'd have thought from there on that's going to be the difference in the game. But fair play to the boys, we dug deep, and you wouldn't know the man was down, you know, when you're working hard. So considering we're down to 14 men, Oisin, and the defeat we had 2 weeks ago, it was a massive result for us, you know.
Yeah. And the fact as well that you're missing quite a few regular starters that would have been there every year over the course of the last, 5-6 years, Mickey, and you're down a few big names, which makes it even more impressive again.
It does, surely, and you know, six regular starters, Oisin, and big names and big players, you know, and Tixia McVay and Davin gone from last year, you know, that's probably 8 gone from the team that played the semi-final last year. So it was a massive turnaround in players. And but the good thing from, we've talked about this league, Oisin, the boys that played the last 3 or 4 years were waiting hard and never really got their chance because it was a hard team to get on. And they got their chance, and the training over the last 3 or 4 years has paid off, and the boys stepped in and they really stepped up to the mark. And look, they put a stamp on some of the jerseys, Oisin, for next week. And it'd be hard not to give some of the lads a go again, because they're really, really impressive against Wicklow, you know.
Yeah, and you'll go into the final now with a bit of a bounce, you will. Given the whole characteristic of the way this one came about and having been hammered 2 weeks previous, Mickey, it gives you an extra sense now of excitement and confidence within the group as you go to the decider.
Yeah, and it was a wee bit of I wouldn't say celebrating, but a wee bit of the boys felt really good after the game, and they pulled that out of the bag, Oisín, but no, we have to bring them down to earth very quickly again. That no, Meath is a different level in this division, and I said that from the start. You know, they've beat Wicklow by 10 points in the group stages, so I'm under no illusion, Oisín, who a week's a short time that you can go out, and Meath have the power and strength to really put it up to you, you know, and they could run away with it very handy. So we just need to keep our feet in the ground, go out and work hard again, and ask as many questions as possible of them. There's no pressure on us. They're hot favourites. They're down from 2A last year, and I do feel that they're going to be really, really hard to beat. But at the same time, you know, we'll keep our feet in the ground, go out and put a good performance on ourselves and see where it takes us, you know.
But it's a game you can win, Mickey.
There's some achievement.
Yeah, but it's a game you can
win. It's a game we can win, Oisín. There was 3 points in the game against Meath with 14 minutes to go the last day, and we were playing Wathbury, so they finished the game strong and then with their bench, which their strength and depth showed, you know. But for large periods of that game, we're well in it, Oisín, but we played very well that day, as I said. If we just happened to drop that level we did in Donald Park 2 weeks ago, it would absolutely be no good against Meath. So if we can carry on from that last week and with high intensity and everybody working really hard for another, we'll ask a lot of questions off them, you know, and hopefully we're well on the game going into the last 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah, and obviously the winner will be moving up a division as well. Would that be seen as huge progress for Donegal Hurling if it was to come about, Mickey?
Well, actually, no. Well, if you like Offaly or Carlo or Kildare or Kerry coming to Letterkenny, it's definitely a different era for Hurling if that did happen. And look, it would be a massive step up. I do feel we'd struggle in the division, but it'd be a great learning experience even to get up in it for 1 year, you know. And worst case scenario, you're back down and still in a relative good division of 2B. So it'd be a massive step to get to 2A, Oisín. As I say, the calibre of them teams that'd be coming would be great for Donegal Hurling, you know.
Well, listen, training will be good this week, Mickey. It'll be a good atmosphere, innit?
Yeah, well, Oisín, and you know what's happened now is that boys come back from injury, and hopefully get everybody fighting for positions again, and that's what makes it very competitive when the boy in the pitch is on a wee bit of pressure and somebody breathing down his neck, and I feel it will be like that now in the next couple of weeks, possibly. Maybe Stephen Gillespie coming back from honeymoon is probably the only boy that will be back on this week. I think it's too early for the boys that's injured, Oisín, and not be risking with the championship 2 weeks away, you know.
Okay, listen, Mickey, thanks for joining us, and enjoy training this week. It's nice to be looking into to a final, so it is, and the very best of luck to you and the guys on the weekend as well.
Thanks, Oisín. Thanks.
That's Mickey McCann, the Donegal Hurling manager, with another big game to look forward to. It's good prep, isn't it, for the Nicky Rackard Championship coming up. And you never know, as was proved at the weekend, anything can happen in hurling. Right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll be talking ladies football. And still to come later, we'll be hearing from Peter Campbell, who is a former sports editor of the Donegal Democrat and GA journalist, in conversation with Brendan Devaney about the ongoings within the circles of Donegal GA, both on and off the field.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the DL Debate. We're going to move on with ladies football, and a blow for Donegal today with the news that Emer Gallagher looks set to miss at the very least the Ulster Championship after breaking a bone on her foot on Sunday in the defeat at the hands of Mayo at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. And it's another massive blow for the Donegal management and the group after a very, very tough league campaign. They did, of course, go down 5-9 to 3-2 to Mayo yesterday. It was another defeat for Donegal, relegated to Division 2 without a win this season. And a number of players picking up injuries, the most serious one that of Emer Gallagher, where she's set to miss a lengthy period of time due to that broken bone in the foot. Earlier today, I caught up, of course, with our ladies correspondent, Maureen O'Donnell, about the situation on the ladies' front, and just like the men, a difficult period for them too.
Yeah, I suppose first and foremost, it's a difficult time for Donegal in terms now with the added injuries of Nicole McLaughlin yesterday, and as you mentioned, Emer Gallagher. Emer, of course, sustained a broken bone in her foot yesterday, so she's going to be out for a minimum 8 weeks. So that's definitely going to rule her out for the Ulster Championship campaign. And, you know, I suppose Donegal, on the back of that sort of maybe poor league campaign, will be looking to maybe go forward into Ulster and try and get their hands on the Ulster title again. Now, Armagh have it for 3 years there now, so it's not looking good, but at the end of the day, I suppose player welfare, and we're hoping and we wish Emer Gallagher the best of luck. She's coming back from a cruciate knee injury as well, and has come back and performed really well, and has captained Donegal there for the last number of months as well. So she's been playing well and performing well, and she's glad to get back at it, but of course now hampered with another injury, and the wedding coming up again in 3 weeks' time too. Oisin, it doesn't help things.
And in relation to Nicole should be good for championship. It's not as serious, her ankle injury.
Yeah, not as serious. You know, obviously hurt it yesterday, but she'll recover and she'll probably be back at it now, because they have a break now for maybe till the end of April or so before they get into Ulster Championship. There's no real word on the dates on Ulster Championship at the minute. So yeah, she will recover as well.
Relegation's hugely disappointed, Maureen. It's been a tough campaign for the group, so it has.
Yeah, very different this year to what we've seen of the Donegal team maybe over the last decade, even over the last two decades. But I suppose the disappointing factor is now that we're down to Division 2. And, you know, what can I say? Mayo were, you know, certainly the best team out there yesterday, Oisin. And, you know, they wanted more. They looked hungrier. And if you compare Mayo and Donegal's form in the league, Mayo have been performing better overall, you know. And that's probably largely due to the fact that Michael Moyles, this is his third year in charge, has been developing and working on a very young and under-experienced team. And, you know, they've lost a lot of players over the years too, like Cora Staunton and Claire Egan's, the likes of that. And we're very much going through that now in Donegal. But, you know, since they lost those players, he's been developing that team over the last 3 years. And you can see that that has been coming to fruition there. You know, at the end of the day, the reality is, you know, from a manager's perspective, from Maxi's perspective, you can only really play with the panel you have currently. And that's not to say we haven't got the players in Donegal, Oisin. You know, I'm merely saying that it's going to take time now for these players to gain the necessary experience and the strength to make it at the top, where, you know, it's continuously becoming more and more competitive.
Yeah, I was speaking to Niamh McLaughlin recently. She was a guest at the ATU Awards, and including herself, Donegal were down 7 starters and 7 big players from where they were last year. And it's been a sort of dramatic fall, so it has, Mo, because they were in a league final last year, top 4 in the championship, and now they find themselves relegated without a win and conceding very, very heavily.
Yeah, and it's a tough pill to swallow. You know, when you look at Donegal's form over the last 3 games, you know, Mayo yesterday with 13 points, Dublin the weekend before with 14 points, and then a huge... Cork had a huge victory over Donegal, with Donegal only, you know, getting 1 point on the board the week before that, or 2 weeks before that. So that in itself was really, really hard to take for the girls, you know, and it's very deflating. When you're going in at half time yesterday, the girls went in with 16 points down. How do you come out and try and perform any better than the second half, you know, after coming on the back of 2 heavy defeats previous to that, you know? But like, when you look at Donegal's form over the last 20 years, you know, won a Junior All-Ireland in 2003, won an Intermediate All-Ireland then in 2010, and Division 1 since 2016. You know, we've had continued success over the years. You know, we appeared in 2 National League finals, lost both of those, one with 2 points, one with a point. You know, won 2 Ulster titles, appeared in 2 All-Ireland semi-finals and a number of quarter-finals. So there has been huge success over the years in terms of how far this Donegal team have gone. But again, it's down to the same situation as the men, the senior men are in at the minute. We've lost generational players. We've lost big names. And it's going to take a while, you know. Unfortunately, we just haven't been able to claim the Senior All-Ireland prize. And I suppose all of the players that were there up until that, and we lost 7 last year, you know, it's hard to keep coming back. It's hard to keep putting in that commitment, to keep them on that level. They're maybe at as far as they've gone in their career and haven't really got the time to commit anymore, and are that bit older now as well. So it's difficult, but it's a hard blow for any team to take when you lost 7 players. And that's the thing. We've got to regroup now, and maybe, you know, Division 2 isn't the end of the world for this Donegal team going forward, where we can, you know, gain the necessary experience, maybe to come back up into Division One, come back up and compete at the top, Oisin.
Just finally then, Maureen, looking ahead to the immediate future for Donegal, there's a number of weeks break now to the Ulster Championship. What can Donegal do in Ulster with the evidence that we've seen so far this year?
Yeah, listen, as I said, you know, I talked to Maxie yesterday and, you know, he was in no way copping out maybe for the relegation to Division Two, and he's very hopeful going forward now into Ulster. And we did say that over the last number of years, Donegal have performed really well in the league campaign, but this year we've seen a different face to it. You know, it was very much a platform for trying out new players. As you can see from the panel of players, there's a lot of new names in there, a lot of inexperienced girls coming up from minor, breaking through out of the minor panel, and some at under 16 level. So, you know, those girls will get an opportunity to play in really competitive Ulster final again this year. And hopefully, as I said to him, you know, there's still the unanswered question of whether Gerardy McLaughlin and Yvonne Boner and Niamh Hegarty and the likes of Deirdre Foley will come back and be drafted back into the panel. We'd love to see it. I think that they would add huge experience and huge strength to, you know, an already understrength team at the minute. And I feel like, you know, we can really give it a good Ulster final campaign if the likes of those girls maybe stepped up and came back to the fore for Donegal. And who knows, maybe we will have a successful Ulster final campaign. I know that, as I mentioned there, Armagh have three titles in a row now, so it'd be nice to see Donegal competing there. But it's all to be played for Oisin at this stage, you know. Yes, yesterday was disappointing for the girls, but I think it's time to move forward, put that in their back pocket now, move on from there and see what we can bring into this new competition.
That's Maureen Mo O'Donnell speaking all things ladies Gaelic football here on the DL Debate. We're going to go for a commercial break, but when we come back, there's more football and it'll be all around the Donegal men. Things that are happening both on and off the field. DL Debate presenter Brendan Devaney will be speaking to Peter Campbell after these.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the final segment of the DL Debate tonight, where we're focusing in on the Donegal senior men's team. And this evening it remains unclear as to who will be the manager of the Donegal senior setup as they head to the championship opener on the 24th of April against Down and Park Eslar in Newry. Yesterday, Aidan O'Rourke, who was standing in the manager role, didn't give any sort of light as to whether himself and Paddy Bradley would be in the position going to the championship. But there is expected some sort of news over the coming days in relation to what direction Donegal are going to go. As we know, there's been a lot happening both on and off the pitch on the Donegal GAA front. There's a lot to talk about, and I suppose it was compounded yesterday with Donegal's relegation to Division 2 as well. But on the way back from Roscommon yesterday evening, Brendan Devaney stopped off in Ballyshannon, where he got the thoughts of former sports editor of the Donegal Democrat, this GA journalist, Peter Campbell, who spoke at length about everything that has been happening over the past couple of weeks.
Peter, in terms of GA, Donegal's football, there's an overwhelming amount of talk and speculation and stories and things happening out there. But I suppose parking a lot of it into this week, before we get into the game today and the final game against Roscommon, just your feeling this week on Paddy Carr leaving and how it affected the team and the way this game turned out today, eventually on the back of that.
Yeah, it seems to be one thing after another. I was trying to think there before I began. Depression, nearly. It was a depressing week. When the news came out on Wednesday about Paddy Carr departing, my stomach dropped. I says, "No, have we not dropped low enough in this county? Can we go any lower?" And you fast forward to today, and you probably thought maybe we'll get a lift. The players will react, and you know, with the Aidan and Paddy Bradley still there, I was expecting a wee bit of fire, but you know, I think we went down another notch in depression. And you know, 4 weeks out from a championship, you know, how do we lift it? I can't in my time ever feeling so depressed about Donegal, and that's 30, 40, 50 years.
That's a big statement, Peter. You've seen it all at this stage. We've had some low ones, Peter, and I don't want to take away because we've had some low ones, say, when I was playing. But I don't remember us actually being as taken apart. I mean, this is just an average Roscommon team. I mean, they're playing okay this year. But Peter, they could have scored twice what they scored in a game.
Yeah, they butchered one of the best goal chances they ever created in the second half. I don't know how they managed to actually get a wide out of it. But I know there are factors. You know, you had the retirements at the end of the year, and everybody will go through these. You had the injuries. Even today, you had the cry-offs, and then you have Stephen McMenamin not able to play, Patrick Morgan not able to play, Michael Langan going off, Owen Bond going off. And you ended up with maybe about six, seven, eight players who are in their first year of playing county football. And, you know, that's impossible for them to compete in Division One if you were competing. And this is happening on the final game of the league season. Yeah, normally in the past, and I suppose, you know, you would use the Dr. McKenna Cup to blood new players. You'd bring in two or three during the first couple of games of the league. And then towards the end of the league, you'd be trying to get your full team out to get ready for championship. But it seems to have gone the other way for Donegal. We started off fairly low, but it's like we've actually lost players since. We've got Kieran Thompson back. We haven't got Ryan McHugh back yet, but you know there'll always be injuries. There'll always be before we meet down. So I it's very hard to put your finger on what has gone wrong. How can we get so low? And you know the mood around the county is so low as well, and hardly anybody from Donegal there in Roscommon today. I think the attendance was given as 4,219. And I just wondered, did we make the 219? If that's how low.
Yes.
And you know, when you look at that Roscommon team, now they scored some nice points today, but the support that they got, even when they turned the ball over on Donegal, they got a lift. It's not as if Roscommon turned the ball over themselves. They were turned over just nearly as many times as Donegal, but at times it looked like an under 12 match. Roscommon have the forwards, and they have the forwards who can take points, and we don't. You take the league this year. Up until today, I think our average was just over 11 points. We couldn't reach that average today. And unless we can get forwards and get forward play much better structured than we have at the moment, I know, you know, we will always say we've lost Michael, we've lost Patrick for this season. But we have to have players who can stand up and hit 2, 3, 4 points. Yeah. You know, if you look at a positive from today, we scored 9 points and we had 8 different scorers.
Right.
Only one player got 2 points. And in a normal analysis of a game, you would say, well, dude, that's very good. You have 8 players scoring. But you couldn't even take that as a positive from today.
That's right. Normally you have a main man in there that kicks a couple, and really, I suppose, particularly Enda Smith, the Murtas, Ben O'Carroll today at times, they really look like they could just go by our lads for fun. And see what you're saying there, Peter, and I agree. There's a couple of things there in what you're saying is very interesting. The mood around it, as you said there, listen, we're always trying to be positive. The last thing I want to talk about, but we have to be realistic too, Peter, the mood around the thing, I've never seen anything like it. It's as if we've had this real glory time now, and everything's been put under one box, and it's all been pushed away. And I started the show today about that. First of all, thanking Paddy Carr, because he's a Donegal GA man. It was terrible that he had to fall on the sword in this. And I thought to myself, there's been a lot of rhetoric coming out of the county and dissenting voices from outside the county, but the ones inside the county here have really caused a real pushback, because the whole country then looked at it and going, oh, you didn't want this man, you've got rid of this man, you didn't. But there's stories behind them all. They're putting them together, but we're not helping ourselves. And what I was saying about Paddy Carr was his statement, Peter, saying that I want nothing but the best for Donegal football and that'll never change. It's such a statement of class from someone from another era. He would have been well in his rights, Peter, to have shots at everybody, at the board for hiring him and with the players, and he didn't. He chose to do that because he's a Donegal man. So I think all that has led into that mood that you're talking about. I've never seen it in this type of flux at the minute, and there's no doubt it's affecting the team.
Yeah, you talk about shooting yourself in the foot. We've been divided for I don't know how long now. It's a serious divide, and you know, you had the academy thing as well, and the division. You know what the division is there. There's two sides to that story, and they're fighting with each other. They just can't get on. We had a meeting on Thursday night, and on Friday morning, I was able to read on my WhatsApp nearly every word that certain people said at the meeting.
And where's that coming from, Peter?
Well, that's come from the obviously delegates who were able to record the meeting.
Are they not supposed to be doing that, or is there a ban on that, or is that just something that wait, what's in that for the people who's doing it?
I don't know, but even doing that, while that came out on Thursday morning, I would have talked to three or four different people after that meeting, and the division between them. I find it so hard to believe that they're still so far apart, and the both sides feel they're so right. But like, I don't think in that thing there's any rights or wrongs. Obviously, some people can't get on with each other, so you have to. If you can't get on with somebody, then you have to give up that part of it. But life and GA football has to go on.
Yes.
They have 2 weeks now, I think, to find out whether Carl will come back. But if that doesn't work out, you know, the sooner that they move on and get a new head in there and get things working again, and you know, maybe in time time will heal. But at the moment, you know, it seems to be brushing into the you know, and feeding into the county scene in general. And there's a lot of people out there who've very, I don't know whether they have agendas or whatever, but they can't be for the good of Donegal football if they want to fight like that and they don't want to make up.
The last thing I said to the officials I met there, just when I was leaving, I met them at a wee coffee shop coming back, was said, listen, if Carrick wanted to come back and bring them coaches back, would you please do everything you can to get this? Because that would be, what a brilliant resolution if we can get it back now. Because I think this might be affecting Carl as well, what I'm hearing in the background. Mm. You know, it's probably a bit of heat in his life. It's a lot of heat on these officials' life. You know, if we can find a way to pull this together, the best thing for Donegal now, and as we keep saying, that's what we want, would be get him back in place and as I say, get behind a couple of lads, whether they want the job or not, Peter, to get ready for the championship. That still remains to be seen, of course.
Well, you know, the body language today after the game would suggest that now Aidan O'Rourke and Paddy will be reluctant enough to carry on. Yeah. They give the commitment, obviously, to fulfil today's league game. But Aidan, what he said afterwards was that was a different conversation,
yeah,
which he didn't give any indication that he wanted to stay on. Now, if they don't stay on, obviously that's another messy situation and a very difficult one for Chairman Fergus McGee.
But put the call out to McNuff, will we?
Well, Mac hasn't, you know, probably hasn't been feeling that well since Christmas, hasn't. And but I was thinking, you know, if his health was just a little bit better,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure
he would answer the call.
He would answer the call, and indeed he might be making the call. He would never walk away from it. That's for sure. But you know, it might be it'd be necessary maybe if the two boys don't stay on, it would probably be necessary for somebody from within the county to take it on, because I doubt if you would get from anybody from outside the county at this present time.
In terms of a Donegal man taking over, I think that's something when we looked at Mark McHugh, obviously was on the sideline, and the words coming out the Roscommon boys, a good time for him. We know obviously we've had a few of the 2012 boys with under 20s. Baba Durgan's been down, with Sligo McFadden's been down there, but he's also helping out with under 20s as well. Listen, Cavan and Lacey was the dream team that we were looking at, with a possible McGuinness in the background. So these characters are all still out there, Peter. And if it was like an SOS, as you said, the kind of thing that Brian McNuff would have answered, certainly back in the open day a few years ago, if maybe not now because of health, but certainly as if somebody would say, right, you know, he would be under no pressure at all even to guide the team in the championship, if that was the case.
Yeah, somebody like that, even maybe Martin McHugh, or, you know, people who would have time. Rory probably is concentrating on St. Junan's, and the club season starts next week. You probably need somebody from outside the club scene, because they would have given commitments in that regard. But, you know, as you say, there wouldn't be any pressure on somebody from within to take it on and put some sort of a coaching structure in place. Now, the expectations won't be high after today. That's number one. And like, in some ways, possibly, and nobody would ever say it, admit to it, relegation to Division 2 may be a blessing in disguise. And, you know, no good supporter would say that deliberately. But, you know, we have to build again. And as I said, with maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 newcomers, yes, being blooded this year, Division 2 won't be easy for them now. When you look at what's in it now, you know, Armagh back down with us as well. But then if you look at a county like Monaghan, who are perennial survivors, and they can show that spirit. You know, we probably haven't been a county like that. We've had highs and we've had lows. When it comes to those, to have that real fight in us, I don't think we're a county like that. We probably produce good footballers, but it's getting them to play in a spirit, a never say die spirit. Probably wasn't something, you know, that we're used to in Donegal. I don't know how you would agree. You talked about having good forwards. We always had good forwards.
And
you know, you could go any era, and we've had good forwards. You know, you had the in between the All Irelands. You had yourself come along, Adrian Sweeney, top class forwards. You know, who could get those. And back then, you had the Manus Boyles, and before that, you know, you go back to Dodo Winston. You know, we won Ulster titles when we had fellas who could score 9, 10 points in a game. That's the one thing we're lacking at the moment now. When we lost Murphy, and then unfortunately with Patrick McBurney's injury, that's a big void in our team, and I think we're suffering because of it. And the confidence levels obviously have to be very, very low after today, and you could see it, like the body language on the field today, and that feeds into the confidence. And it's going to take somebody, you know, I don't know, Brian McAniff is probably, you know, I would think maybe somebody of a younger vintage that might be able to lift them.
Even an Anthony Malloy or someone of a certain, you know, that come in. And you know, at the minute, the spirit thing, you know, listen, tactically, here's the thing. I mean, Aidan O'Rourke has been around the block. I mean, he's coached Louth. He's been involved in McGinney, Kildare, and at Armagh. He's been involved with James McCartan at Down. Like, you know, spirit and tactic, we just seem so wide open the last couple of games. I mean, we've been absolutely hammered out the gate in two games, Peter. It was very hard to interview Patrick McBurney after the game, because I like Patrick a lot, and he's very bullish, and he's talking about just we're getting ready for Down and we'll pull together. But I just don't see anything in there at all, gives me any confidence. Now, I would love to be proven wrong, Peter. I would love us to come out and look solid at the back and had a team in the counter. But I mean, when you've both ends of the pitch with unbelievable problems, it's hard for you to look into the championship and think we can have a go at anybody. I mean, if I was the Down manager now, I'd be looking at that going, this is the time to play Donegal.
Well, I suppose the other side of the coin is, I don't think we can go any lower than we did today. You know, those players, there has to be a bit of pride in them, and they have to go back to training and say, listen boys, we're not fit enough, we didn't finish the game well, we haven't finished any of the games well, we can do something better, we have the 4 weeks to do it. And you know, I'm just hoping I'll always be a glass half full man. I think that, you know, they have to have some pride to come back, put it in for the next 3 weeks. And I'm not sure that it'll be good enough to beat Down. Down obviously had a big win today over Offaly. You know, they'll be going well and they're at home. And, you know, we've been kind of beating them on a regular basis in the championship over the last while. I think that they will think this is a big opportunity for them this year to go on and get through a few rounds. But, you know, I wouldn't even be disappointed if we lost by a point or two and down, to tell you the truth. If we can go there and put up a fight.
As long as you see the basics of the game, Peter, yes. I suppose, you know, you're on about having man for man, get your man, tactically set up and support your colleague. Mm-hmm. And then when you break forward with a bit of pace and plan.
Yes.
You know, and I know what you're saying, we're right about the team's a wee bit, it looks like it's thrown together, and it kind of is, in terms of new men and lads coming in. And it's all right to put one or two on the team and see how it goes. I mean, Roscommon himself missing quite a few players. I was looking from their Connacht final team last year. There's probably about six changes. Now, that said, they have a lot of experience in there. And Peter, today, I suppose, young Malloy and Dunleavy, was that his debut as well?
Yeah.
So we had a couple of debuts thrown in there, and I don't want to take anything away from these guys. It's hard to evaluate this game at all, Peter,
and
because
Kieran Tobin as well, his debut.
Was that his Tobin's first step? Very good. There you go. Very good.
So you had that, and you had Mark Curran only in his first season.
Yes.
You have young McColgan only in his first season. Johnny McGrady in his first season. You know, this is a huge number. A huge number of players. To try and integrate them into a team that were ravaged by injury at a start. So, you know, but what you'd be looking for now is to see can they get a little bit of spirit back
in.
And, you know, that a wee bit of that will to never say die. And, you know, if they do that and go to Newry and make us proud, that's what they have to do. They probably have to win back the Donegal support.
And I think, Peter, probably it's the basics of the game we're looking about here. We aren't looking for any kind of master plan. I mean, with Paddy Carrick coming in first, he talked about changing the style of play in Donegal, and it was kind of all grand. He was like, what's going to happen here? But really what we've got to do is go right back to basics in terms of your very standard type of defending. And then stay in the game long enough to cause a problem where you can maybe punch a hole in the team and win a match. That's where we're at. That to me seems straightforward. That requires a bit of spirit and a bit of buy-in. But what we've seen the last couple of games, we're so far away from that. So you've got a month to get that ready. It's a big job, and your feeling would be that it's not going to be O'Rourke and Bradley.
Well, judging by the body language and the quotes after the game today, I would nearly be surprised. But you never know. It probably would be the best solution if they stayed on, because there'd be a little bit of continuity. If they don't, the task of actually getting somebody, to look after the team, it won't be easy, because you saw what happened when we tried to get a manager back in August, and we took 3 months nearly to do it, and the interest just wasn't there, and it was unfortunate the way it finished up in the end, with Rory not being able to take it, and then obviously it being given to the boys. But It's a very low situation for Donegal, and I'm not sure how we're going to get out of it. But we are going to have, like everything else, like the academy, we're going to have to rise. We're going to have to rise above everything and try and get Donegal back playing. That spirit, I know Patrick Bertie spoke very, very positively after the game. But we need more than just talk. It's going to have to happen on the pitch, and while we have seen snatches of Donegal in this league, they just weren't anywhere near enough. We probably should have got an extra point against Galway. We could have finished up with 4 points, but it's very hard to know. Possibly Armagh, maybe we might have got a draw, but like the other games, we weren't good enough. You couldn't complain about the results. So we finished up the league with 3 points. You could argue we could have had 4, but 4 wouldn't have been enough anyway. So, you know, we can't have any quibbles about being relegated. But now we have 4 weeks to resurrect the spirit, resurrect some sort of a belief in the team. We're talking here now, and we don't know who's going to be leading, and that's the difficulty. It isn't an easy situation, and hopefully before 24-48 hours we'll have clarity. But
at this moment, Peter, we you're ready for it, because at the minute in Donegal football, anything can happen. I think this.
Yeah, that's about it. But I think we're nearly as low as we can go at the moment. So maybe the only way is up. And you know, it's so depressing to be talking like that.
Yes,
rather than
I'm
talking,
the same, I know.
To be talking about
that.
We'd rather
be chatting about maybe tactics or certain players in certain positions, and
exactly.
You know,
but
there's no point now because it's a as a total team and a squad and a management. It has to come together first. The guy said Patrick would come together, and he said that they are together. But I didn't mean it as a team, as a bond. I meant on the pitch. You know, there's no togetherness as a side to be defensive or an attack.
Yes. And, you know, again, we probably have been blessed with such a wonderful bunch of players over the last 40 years, I'd say. You know, we've had some ups and downs, but like we've won the two All-Irelands, we won Ulsters the last 10-15 years, and especially like to be in, was it eight finals out of 10 or something, Ulster finals. Like, that's the daily feed that we've been used to.
Yes.
This is a different scenario, and you even find it hard to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you know, we just have to get on with what we have. Hopefully, we have a manager in place before midweek, and somebody will have to take it on. We can't like spend a week, 2 weeks looking for a managerial replacements. And you know, I feel for Fergus McGee in the situation. Like, I wouldn't like to be in his shoes. Like, it's ultimately...
Yeah, it's just problem after problem. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, and this one is going to sit on his desk as well. Mm. And he's had enough to deal with now over the last couple of months. And I'm only, since December. Like, it's been horrific nearly for him. Mm. But yeah, maybe there might be some chink of light coming this week. And, you know, if you got that chink of light, maybe get a little bit of positivity back into the whole scene in Donegal. And maybe, you know, if you were to ask them to do anything, ask the public to stop talking negative.
Yes.
To maybe start talking a little bit positive. And I know they might say, well, sir, you have been talking negative for the last half an hour. But no, I would always be trying to think of the positive.
Yes.
And maybe we can get, you know, somewhere... maybe a few notches up the ladder. We're not going to reach the top in 2023, but if we can get a couple of notches back up the ladder from the bottom, I'd be very, very happy.
Yeah, yes, indeed, Peter. Well, listen, in terms of chinks of light, there's a lovely sunset going to happen behind us here, heading to the West Coast Atlantic at Ballyshannon here, Peter. And listen, always great to talk to you, Peter. We'll keep it positive, and we'll hope for the best come the championship. Good man. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Dave.
That's Brendan Devaney, your regular presenter in the DL Debate there, speaking to Peter Campbell, and that brings an end to this week's show. Brendan will be back in all his glory next Monday night for another episode of the DL Debate. Until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. Good evening.